Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us speaking of the arts, as he is just about every Friday. Right now, I'd like to welcome Tony Chavarria. He is the curator of ethnology at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, and he's the curator of the exhibition which opens this coming Sunday, Comic Art Indigene. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me, Mary Charlotte.
Now, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Comic Art Indigene, what does the title refer to?
Well, when we were coming up with the name for the exhibit, we were looking at the different ideas, and basically it just boiled down to it would be Native American or Native or Indigenous comic art. And when I was looking up just synonyms for Indigenous, and I would come across definitions like primitive. And then when you look up primitive, you get definitions like crude. And then looking up comic art, you get things like low art or crude art or primitive art. So I see that you start seeing these connections between the two terms, and then even reaching forward, you start seeing even connections between as comic art, as seen as art, and Indigenous people. Sometimes even just seen as a culture, especially you know if with the past attitudes. So I decided to just have a little fun with when you want to class something up, you always either put an accent on it, a French accent or an English accent or something. It classes things up. So just to kind of like parody that thing of just putting, well, we'll use the French, you know, for Indigenous, we use Indigene, so.
Well, and it's so interesting because it really makes the very title, not to mention the whole show, makes you really think about what are the distinctions and are they, you know, true or false about high art and low art and things like that. And I was thinking about how, in a way, you know, comic art, like every other art form, has its incredible great practitioners, just like thriller writing and mystery writing, but because they're a genre, they don't get accepted in that way.
Exactly. And that's what we were looking to and somewhat address in here, that even, you know, the low arts or genres, you know, provide a great deal of inspiration. Even like with the genre writers, you know, like mystery writers, that the great practitioners and those genres, you know, influence a lot of writers, you know, that we would consider, you know, the people who are writing, you know, quote-unquote literature. So that it's from these mass appeal genres that can provide the fodder for creating what we would consider great art, you know, in a Western perspective.
And sometimes those mysteries are better than what passes for literary fiction
exactly,
in the first place.
Exactly, yes, yes.
You're giving a lecture at, I think it's 1:15 at the time of the opening on Sunday at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture called What is Comic Art? Well, what is comic art? Do we not know?
Well, there's, you know, sometimes been continual debates, and there's even been a major publication on that called Understanding Comics that was written by Scott McCloud, and it's about a little over a decade old now, and he will go into it really in an analytical detail, but basically what it boils it down to is comic art is basically pictures in a sequence. That's what you're going to boil down to. So words and
that
can be
story.
Words and pictures in the sequence, yes, telling a narrative. And so then when you can just call it even narrative art, and then you can take that back as far as you wish. You know, even other past exhibits have looked at, you know, all the antecedents of comics. It could be the Bayeux tapestry. It can be the cave drawings in France. And I think this is the first one really to really not look at those European examples, but looking at Indigenous examples here from this hemisphere.
One thing that happens right at the beginning of the exhibition is that there's a big reproduction of a petroglyph that, for all the world, looks like Captain America.
Oh yeah, it's one I remember first seeing too, way back when I was an undergraduate in mid '90s, and it's this pictograph called All American Man, and it's in Canyonlands National Park in southern Utah, and it's this individual, you know, we assume male because we call it All American Man. And he's carrying a round shield. It's holding it right in front of him. And what's most striking about it is that it's painted in red, white, and blue.
And that's actually pigment that has lasted, what is it, 600 years?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
800 years?
It's dated to approximately 1290. I think you can either plus or minus, probably more plus, about 75 years or 50 years, based through carbon dating and some pigment analysis. I remember when I first encountered it again when I was much younger, that they thought it was a modern-day fake because, you know, oh, God, there's this
it looks like
red,
that's
white, and
what
blue
it is.
Thing.
Yeah. And also, I mean, with the vertical stripes, just
yes.
like Captain America has
exactly.
on his waistband.
Yes, exactly. There's red and white, alternating red and white vertical stripes, just like on Captain America. But they did an analysis, and I remember back then they thought that even the blue, if the blue was real, that it might have been a darker, like even almost nearly black pigment that had oxidized over time and turned blue. But then I guess in this more recent analysis, they found out, no, it was blue pigment that was placed on there.
And so that is just the beginning of a whole story that you tell in the exhibition of basically, it's not just about comic art, which has representations of stereotypes of Native Americans, which is in there, but also just the many ways of Native American storytelling and then the parallels to other kinds of narrative
yes.
art that are in comic books.
That's where we're bringing in the connection to Captain America, because, you know, there's not a direct connection, however, but we're just drawing these parallels because like the area where, in the time when All-American Man was painted by this unknown Pueblo artist, it was during a time of a hardship and drought up there, and at the time of the abandonment of the Four Corners region. So it was during this really major time of struggle when it was painted. And it was painted, again, to be a marker for that place, to be a marker for that people. And that figure spoke to those people and to the persons who painted him. And so he had meaning, a very specific meaning to them. Just as Captain America was created in 1940, before the U.S. entered the Second World War, to be a symbol about America and to be a symbol of what these Jack Kirby and Joe Simon saw as these ideas of freedom against Nazi Germany. And so that, you know, so there are these connections on using these graphic symbols to be to serve, you know, a purpose beyond just as a decorative art.
So do heroes or symbols of heroes tend to arise more, do you think, during periods of struggle?
They can, because, again, we're looking for these different types of icons. We're looking for these different types of, things to represent of, I don't know, like, what did they say, the better angels of our nature, so that, or the, you know, these more, like, fighting elements of our spirit, and so that these heroes can come up with, that's what comics became so identified with, you know, with these, as when some people wanted to disparage it, they call it these adolescent male power fantasies, but there are so much more than that as well, and in comics, basically, you can do anything you want in comics. You can tell the most serious, you can tell the most light narratives in it. You can do anything using words and pictures in a sequence.
We're talking to Tony Chavarria, who is the curator of ethnology at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, and the exhibition, which opens this coming Sunday from 1 to 4 at that museum on Museum Hill here in Santa Fe, is called Comic Art Indigene. Now, I have to ask you this. Is the genre of comic books pretty much a boy thing?
It was. The readership, you know, was largely male, and I guess still today to a degree it is. However, even just in the past 10 years, I've seen many more women and girls getting into comics, but particularly on the creator side, there's a lot more women producing their own comics. We even have...
Do they have a different flavor?
Yes, they do. They bring a different take to it, but there's also a large degree of women artists who are into the superhero genre, you know, who grew up, you know, reading that. Even one of the artists in the show, Jolene Yazzie, her work is, and you'll see it like on different ads and stuff, is that she and her sister were enthralled with Wonder Woman as they're growing up. And part of that, I think for a lot of girls, was also the TV show that was on in the 70s as well. And then it got into the comics. And with Jolene and her sister, she's Navajo, they loved Wonder Woman's, you know, she had these amazing powers and abilities. And she also had this long black hair, just as they did. And so when she got older and she was involved into the skater culture as well, and so I think she, in high school, it said she grew up on comics and Thrasher magazines. You know, it was basically her high school education. And so she decided when she wanted to create these Navajo woman warriors, again, to be these examples. So she hasn't actually done comics, but it's definitely influenced her work of these images of these very powerful women warriors.
Now, there's one young artist, Rose Bean Simpson, whose work was created for this show, which is not usual for the show. Most of the things are collected items, but
yeah,
this
exactly.
was actually created.
Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate. We've had several different artists to create things specifically for the show because the artists were very, very enthused when we brought this idea out. Rose Bean Simpson created actually two different pieces. One is a series of four cutouts that she did on Masonite called Objectification. It's an amazing piece of work, and it really is addressing these different aspects of a Pueblo person's identity in the modern world and how it reflects with both, you know, a traditional aspect and an urban aspect. And then she did another piece called I Shall Call Her, and I Shall Call Her Freedom. That was a nice. And then Marcus Ammerman created a very large painting specifically for the show. And Santana Shorty, who is a ninth grader, just finishing the ninth grade at the Santa Fe Indian School, she also created a work specifically for the show. Because I'd seen her work at Indian Market, and then I asked her if she had any, when you're trying to collect work, you usually ask for existing works. But several of the artists said, no, I'd like to make something just specifically for the show and about the theme of it. And again, play with these different ideas of how comic art influences their work.
Now, another theme in the show is, well, you just mentioned the thing, objectification, but also just the whole world of stereotypes and the way Native people, along with lots of other people, have been stereotyped in comics. But there's this very interesting thing that's going on, which is some of those stereotypes have been reclaimed and then some of them have been turned around.
Yes. We have a short section, and usually when Native people have been in these past exhibits, museum exhibits on comic art, it has been really looking from that stereotypical portrayal of Native people or other ethnic groups in the comic book, especially during the Second World War.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're showing a very small section of stereotypes, and actually we're showing even some of the more positive portrayals. And then the last section of the exhibit is called Transformation. It's basically in how Native artists are basically reclaiming and transforming not only stereotypes, but comic art in general, to create what we now think of as even cutting-edge American Indian art.
There's one which is pretty interesting, which is a comic-style representation of an anthropologist named Frank Hamilton Cushing, who quote-unquote went Native.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, one of the things that's always tricky is that anthropologists go around trying to represent other people, but those other people don't represent their relationship to anthropologists.
Yeah, and this series by the late Phil Hute is really amazing. The museum, the Ashiwiowan Heritage Center and Museum at Zuni, lent us these original drawings or cartoons by the late Phil Hute that were part of a book called The Zuni Artist Looks at Frank Hamilton Cushing. And so Cushing was this guy sent by the Bureau of American Ethnology. He went out to Zuni, and as they say again, he went Native. He actually lived in a community, and he actually was initiated into a society there, and he became a bow priest. It's really, he went Native in a sense, but he was also practicing a very early form of what this is standard methodology in fieldwork in anthropology today is called participant observation. So by observing and participating in a culture that you're studying, and that's what he did, but, you know, to really extreme measures, and he even had a little sign about that said that he was an ethnologist and bow priest, etc., and he lived in a community, he dressed up, you know, and participated in things, and apparently he actually even took he was in a scalp society. He took part in the ceremony there. But his reputation was eventually clouded by his actions when he returned to Washington, D.C., because he was revealing knowledge outside of his society. And again, that because the new Zunis and most Native people see as knowledge has to be earned, especially in society knowledge, and it's not something to be freely shared because you have to basically to earn that knowledge. And what Cushing did was seen as betrayal to his Zuni family. So, again, his reputation is still fairly clouded, but it's still talked about in Zuni. And this is a really, really unique look by Phil Hute of an indigenous critique of an anthropologist's fieldwork, even one who did his work decades ago.
Then there's another artist in the exhibition called Ryan Huna Smith. And one of his pictures, which is in the show, is called Fry Bread Man, which yes. I think is just a hilarious superhero picture.
Yeah, it was originally something he did for a humor calendar, and that submission wasn't accepted, but it was such a great concept. He still completed it and finished it. So it's his character, Fry Bread Man. He even wrote a little origin for him as well, and just made a separate print that he said that he still sells on occasion.
And it sells very well.
Exactly. So it's this very Indian guy. Yeah, it sells very well. He looks like Superman, but he's got, instead of the S on his chest, he's got a big F. So, Fry Bread Man, and he basically he can leap. I know one of the things in his origin, he can leap tall pueblos in a single bound. So it's an amazing piece, and we have the original pencil art on exhibit, and then we have the small version of the color print of what it actually looks like.
And he produced a comic book, only one issue of it, which was so popular that even years later they're still asking for version 2, issue 2.
Yes. It was a comic called Tribal Force, and it came out in the mid-90s. And he remembers he even had signings in Arizona. They got tons of press because it was really the first comic book produced by Native people. And, you know, it was about a superpower team of these different individuals from different tribes who had different powers. And it was this really unique take on this superhero genre by Native people. So it got, you know, all this amazing publicity. It sold really well. But then they had a creative parting of the ways, so the second issue never came out. And as Ryan says, he still gets asked today that when is the second issue of Tribal Force coming out. And we have some of his the pages from that never published second issue here in Santa Fe. So this will be like one of the few chances to ever see that a long lost second issue of Tribal Force.
So for people who are real comic aficionados, there will be some treasures in there that the rest of us might not even know how valuable they are. You have the work of Mateo and Diego Romero in there, and talk about the connection to pottery, between comics and pottery.
Oh, sure. And there is, like when we were talking to different people about the exhibit, that there's going to be a lot of traditional Native American art, or what we consider traditional Native American art. You're going to see works on paper, you're going to see beadwork, you're going to see pottery. And yes, there's a pottery in the exhibit. And Diego Romero is really known for his neo-membris ceramics, particularly his bowls. But his work is very, very influenced, too, by comic books. He'll even say, when you talk to him, that how he grew up in this one comic store in Berkeley, California. And his work is really, we're trying to show the influence that you see in his pottery by showing his original drawings, which really are never shown in public. The drawings that he does before he creates his pots. And we have one of his bowls on exhibit, but then we have some of his drawings that are the precursors to the ceramics. And so there's this really definite connection you'll see between what he read as a young person and to how his work is now influenced by both remembrance art, comic art, Greek art, and classical art, and how that's represented. And it's all, you know, turns into something distinctly, distinctly Romero on his work.
There's also an interesting connection between comics of the early 20th century and then the pottery that people were making, for example, in Zuni. There's a picture of Crazy Cat being hit by a brick and the little eyes are X's, yes. Which is a symbol that we all know. And then Zuni pottery that shows up with little X's on the eyes of one of the animals.
Yes, and these Zuni pots are produced in the late 20s and into the 30s. And it's to people who've looked at the pottery, it's the only time that they've ever seen that showing up on pottery. And they've never seen it before that. And it's only at this time where they see these X's in the eyes. And some scholars believe these pots were produced, are painted, actually, painted by men. And if that's true, that just shows possibly this influence. Because, again,
is it usually a female art
form? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or a family-produced thing. Sometimes, for example, like Maria and Julian, Maria formed the pots, Julian painted them. So it can be, but these ones, we think, it was kind of like a large-scale production, so men were painting some of these pots. And we know that newspapers featuring the comic sections were out there. And actually, Crazy Cat was featured in the Albuquerque Journal. I believe it was a Hearst paper. And the only reason Crazy Cat existed as long as it did was because William Randolph Hearst liked it. And so, again, so I had these different shorthand elements that comic strip artists develop to show action in panels, you know, sound effects, dust clouds, motion lines, and the X's and the I's. And so then these X's and the I's show up on these pots where we think, you know, they're doing some kind of commentary or take or just some weird influence coming from these comics, you know, that might be showing up in these Zuni pots.
Another form, which is, it's not comic art exactly, but it's Indian ledger art, which also tells a story in a single panel.
Yes. Yeah, so if you will, so it's basically like a single panel cartoon, if you will, if we won't offend like the ledger art mavens by saying we're referring it that way. But yeah, the ledger art is an early example of this narrative art that of telling a story, you know, in pictures. And they also use these visual ticks to show action, like even like these little dashed lines to show motion in a panel, repeating figures within the same picture representing the same individual but at different points in the story. And it's really, really unique when you look at this, of how they developed this method of telling a story on a single piece of paper, basically. And so we wanted to bring in this connection of this type of narrative art and relating it to what we're trying to talk about with comic art.
Now, one of the things that you're doing in the exhibition, besides showing all of this work and explaining it, is you have a light table with pencils, and you have comic books with all the frames but nothing in them so that people can actually make their own work.
Yes, yes. So that's some of our interactive activities where people can make their own comic story, and they'll be able to make their own even a skateboard design with this, some of the suggestions projected on this light table that they can trace in there, or they can just come up with their own.
Have you made any of your own?
Not yet. We did in the past, especially when we were kids, we used to make our own comic books. And one of my coworkers, Julia, gave me one that her son did, and I have that in my office of this comic book that he made. So.
Tony Chavarria is curator of ethnology at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture. The show is called Comic Art Indigene. It opens this Sunday from 1 to 4 at the museum on Museum Hill. And for more information, you can see, well, today's Pasa Tiempo has the cover story is a wonderful. What is the figure on the cover of the Pasa?
The cover is a picture of Jason Garcia's ceramic tile. He does these pigment paintings using, traditional pigments, influenced by Pablito Velarde, the Pueblo artist. And he makes these tiles showing these different aspects of Pueblo culture, sometimes historical events like the Pueblo Revolt. Yeah, and so the cover is this big one that says, Behold Popeye, that is influenced by the classic cover of Avengers number 57.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
It's been great. Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a little break right now. Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, welcome, Robert.
Hi there.
And Reese Peterson has just dropped in. She's the executive director of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust and wants to tell us that that's going to be our first announcement of something that's going on. Was it next weekend?
It is. It's next weekend. It's Sunday, May 18th, but we're here today because we wanted everybody to know so they can get tickets ahead of time. It's called the Conservation Train, and the Santa Fe Conservation Trust is teaming up with Santa Fe Southern Railway and the Santa Fe to Lamy line. They put on a special car on their train, and it's just for our supporters and for our friends, and we invite all of your listeners to take part. We'll go on from 2 o'clock to 4:30 on Sunday, May 18th, and what we do is we get on the train at the depot in Santa Fe, and they go out and they stop at a special place just for us where we get to overlook the Galisteo Basin. Most beautiful framed view of one of our special project areas, and of course an area of
framed by the windows of the train?
No, framed by the hills. There's a little cut in the escarpment just above Lamy, or just west of Lamy. It's gorgeous. And we stop there, we get out in the flat car, we talk about the future of the Galisteo Basin, how the Santa Fe Conservation Trust is working to preserve open spaces and the health of the Galisteo Basin, as well as trails. And then the train turns around, as it were, and goes back. It's not a fundraiser at all. It's a friend raiser. We want to more
a friend raiser.
We want more people to know about the work of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and that we are so grateful that the railroad has partnered with us on this. People need to call ahead and make reservations because there's very limited seating. If you want to get on the private car, you have to call the railway itself at 989-8600, and you have to ask for the conservation car so that they know where to put you. That you do have to pay. There are ticket prices for adults, seniors, and kids, and 20% of the proceeds go to benefit the Santa Fe Conservation Trust.
And that's all on Sunday, the 18th of March from...
May.
Yes, we know what month we're in, May, from 2 to 4:30 in the afternoon. Reese Peterson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, Reese.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Oh, good.
What do you want?
Tell us what to do this weekend.
Tell you what to do? Yeah. We could start by cleaning up your house. Not that I've been there lately or noticed. Oh, you're giving me a look that suggests the house is clean. Okay, let's talk about other things.
The house is not clean. I'm just staggered and delighted that you're gonna do something about the uncleanliness thereof.
You know what? I'm gonna hire out as a house cleaner. I'm very good at it.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
You can practice. You can practice on my house.
That's excellent.
You can practice on the organization part too.
What do you mean? I don't practice. That means I don't get paid.
You got it.
Can I have lunch?
Sure.
Okay, I'll have to make it myself, I suspect.
No. I'll do that for you, as long as you do everything else.
Listen, last night I went to Santa Fe High, to the studio theater over there. I saw Joey Chavez's production of Into the Woods.
Oh, great.
Which I saw on Broadway 20 years ago. And it's a really good show. It's a really fine rendition of the Stephen Sondheim musical. Does it have bumps? Yeah. Did a couple actors, you know, go up on their lines? Yep. But I'm telling you, this teenage cast did terrific, and there were some really good performances. A guy named Devin Lackey, who's never been on the stage before, was the baker. He's really good. Serana Gay's terrific as Cinderella. And when they sang that song, you know, No One Is Alone, I thought I was going to cry. It's a really good show. If you have some time and you want to go see it, Santa Fe High. It's out there on Yucca Avenue, and there's a phone number somewhere around here. But, yeah, go out there. It's 8 o'clock at night. Also, theater-wise, Doubt continues El Museo Cultural. I thought it was a fantastic show. Craig Smith gave it a very good review in today's PASA.
I saw the rehearsal and thought it was terrific.
It really is. It's a really thoughtful, grabby piece of theater. You won't be bored. At El Museo Cultural, 660-2379 for tickets. Runs through next weekend. Willy Wonka Jr. again. Pandemonium continues at James A. Little Theater tonight at 7. Tomorrow, same time, I think Sunday matinee. Call Pandemonium at 988-1234. Sounds like it's the Lenzic. Wise Fool New Mexico, Raise the Rent Cabaret. Improv night, of showcase of various talent, including aerial antics and no doubt slapstick shenanigans. 8 o'clock, Wise Fool Studios on Oxford Street. Sliding scale admission. No one turned away for lack of funds. I love going to places like that.
That's very good.
Because I show up all the time with that situation. 992-2588. You want phone numbers and specifics? Pick up the PASA calendar, PASA Tampa, put together by Rob DeWalt and Pam Beach. It's a really great arts and entertainment calendar. It tells you everything everywhere. Yeah, we miss something every now and then. Yeah, we misspell something every now and then. It's really a great job by Rob DeWalt, who's been doing it for years. I have to mention two great
Rob DeWalt is great.
He is great. I know. You have a little thing going on with him. That's fine.
I do not.
Every time he fills in for me, there's this... He's like, you know, the lover.
What do you mean by thing?
I'm
Define
the spouse,
thing.
And he's the lover. I can see it. It's just the excitement in your eyes. It's, you know, I've seen this happen before. Don't worry. I'm around. Two Great Apes painting. Do you know about this?
Why, no.
Project Sweet Dreams, which teaches kids about
You're
love.
The spouse? Is that what you said?
Yes. Project Sweet Dreams teaches children about monkeys and animals and how to be nice to them. The Oz School of Santa Fe and After School Arts Program that's been going on for years, run by, what's Miss Turner's first name? I apologize. I want to say Karen. They're going to be teaming up tonight for an auction, African drumming, food, a video screening, to raise some money for Save the Chimps, which is trying to save the chimps. There's a bunch of chimps in Alamogordo, and they need to go to Florida, where they're going to be on an island refuge with jungle, and they're going to feel like crocodiles won't get them and people won't hurt them. So To help, you can go to Cloud Cliff Bakery, which has closed as a restaurant, you may have read in the paper, but is open tonight for this event.
Oh, good.
5:30 to 8 o'clock. They're on 2nd Street, no charge. Donations appreciated. 466-0007. You got a computer, Google www.savethechimps.org. That's tonight. I'm going to try to swing by and see what sort of monkey shines are going on.
Hey, have you heard about Biome Neuro Norb, which opens on Thursday, the 15th of May at Meow Wolf Gallery?
What's it called?
Biome Neuro Norb.
No, I think I had a case of that when I was 17, but my doctor gave me some penicillin and cleared it right up.
Let me just read you the first sentence of the press release. In the winter of the year 2096, D. Emmanuel Merck III and his colleagues at Harvard University successfully received a non-pre-programmed response from a hatched human fetus spliced with nano-electronic wiring and a mega-bandwidth telecommunications. This breakthrough completed the work of both Emmanuel Merck Jr., his father, Emmanuel Merck Sr., his grandfather, and so on, whose rabies babies experiment was the catalyst of six generations worth of human genetic alteration. It goes on from there, but this is going on at Meow Wolf. And those guys are hilarious.
I think you have to sum up what you're trying to do in four or five words. I'm Robert Knott. I'm trying to revive vaudeville. That's all you need to know. What's this, human dynamics and some fetus from 2082?
It's just human creativity. And Meow Wolf Gallery is at 1403 2nd Street, which is just right off of the corner of Cerrillos Road in Santa Fe.
Elaine Pinkerton Coleman is signing books tomorrow at the Village at El Dorado, 10 to 3. The Village at El Dorado is off 285 across from the supermarket out there. She'll be joined by Inez Ross. Elaine has written Santa Fe on Foot, The Santa Fe Trail by Bicycle, From Calcutta with Love, and The Beast of Bengal. If you want to go out and support Elaine and or Inez Ross, head on out to the El Dorado Village.
Hey, here's another announcement. The AD Collective will have an opening on Saturday, that's tomorrow, at their gallery at 1235 B. Siler Road. The title of the show is Space Invaders. A group of nine artists and friends who grew up together in Santa Fe are reuniting for a group show with multimedia work. There's a reception at 6 o'clock, food and music. I like the food part, the music part too. The exhibition will run through May 17th, and for more information, 577-6416.
Remember that movie, It Came from Outer Space? It was from the 1950s.
I heard about it. I've heard it was like a grade Z movie or something.
No, it's a terrific. It's like one of the best five movies ever made.
Oh, really?
Aliens come from space and they take over human people and they're trying to overrun the joint. Now, in retrospect, you kind of wish they would, the way the state of affairs around here. What was I going to mention about tonight?
I know.
I was going to say. Vintage posters, the Rosenberg Collection Gallery. Marty Rosenberg is showing his vintage Polis posters. Very, very, very colorful stuff. Reception 5 to 37 p.m. tonight at Canyon Road. It's sort of behind the, what's that place called up there, the Tea House?
Mm-hmm.
On Canyon Road. It's sort of right behind there.
The Tea House, which generously donated to KSFR during our fund drive.
Oh, that's terrific.
Along with the Tree House.
And what about the Green Palace Tea House?
What about it?
Well, they're also having an exhibit tonight. Paul Goggin and Bob Marley on the Mysterious Island of the Giant Nude. That's the name of the show. I ain't making this up. Paintings by Michael Andryk, A-N-D-R-Y-C. I do not mispronounce names purposely ever. They're at 209 East Palace, 983-2239, reception 5 to 9. And I do have to, once again, at the risk of sounding like I'm giving Santa Fe High a lot of press, which is not my intent, the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex is doing a reception from 5 to 7 tonight, Santa Fe High School Student Art Show, 5 to 7 o'clock through May 23rd. I'm going to swing by there, too. Try to go to Marty's place and maybe go see the Great Apes thing later on tonight.
Hey, tomorrow night at the Scottish Rite Temple, the Santa Fe Rotary Foundation for the Arts is honoring the work of Susan Rothenberg and Bruce Nauman, and that's something that they do every year. They honor nationally recognized artists, and they have a big event, a live auction, a gala, and pretty pricey tickets, but it benefits the Rotary Foundation for the Arts. And if you want more information or you want to buy a ticket, which includes a private cocktail party with the artists, you can call 984-1133.
Also tomorrow, if you're down at Santa Fe Place, formerly Via Linda Mall, 1 o'clock Saturday, the Congressional Art Competition will have its final ceremony. It's picking a high school student who's won an art competition put on by Congress ever since 1982. Each state has it, and their work gets to hang outside the Capitol in the pedestrian walkway called the Cannon Tunnel. So if you're down at Via Linda Mall, a.k.a. Santa Fe Place, 1 o'clock tomorrow, totally free, just stick around for the Congressional Art Competition. I was there last year. It only takes about 30 minutes, and it's really great to honor high school students who are doing stuff to promote art, which is always a nice thing because it shows you're artistic, not to mention creative.
Meanwhile, there is a walkthrough installation and performance by the College of Santa Fe Electroacoustic Ensemble on Sunday, May 11th, from 1 to 2 at Benildes Hall at the College of Santa Fe campus. And it is free, and students will be performing on a variety of hand-built and hand-hacked musical circuitry, found objects, and the flotsam and jetsam of the post-industrial wasteland.
Oh, boy, here we go again.
That is Santa Fe.
Flotsam and jetsam, that's great. Pink Martini. Pink Martini.
I love Pink Martini.
Playing at 7:30 p.m. Thursday at the Lenzic, 988-1234. I also like them.
Hey, didn't you interview them?
I interviewed Thomas Lauderdale, who's the founder in today's Passatiempo. You can read it. You can also see our book reviews in Passatiempo of Joanna Herschen's The German Bride and Jack Handy's very funny book, What I'd Say to the Martians and Other Veiled Threats. Carol Muldahl is going to be doing a book signing and reading from The Widening.
I interviewed her yesterday on the show. I wish we'd have more time. The book is fabulous.
That's what Jill Batson, our writer who interviewed her, says. She is signing and reading tonight at 5:30. Where?
Collected Works Bookstore.
Also at Collected Works, Wednesday, 5:30, Mike Farrell.
Yes, I'm interviewing him on Wednesday.
Terrific.
Morning.
I interviewed him. He's in today's PASA.
I haven't read the book yet, though.
Oh, he's a terrific
guy. Is it good?
It's a very good book. It really makes you wish you could do more. How you should do more just to try to help the world. He's really gone from actor to activist. It's good writing. He's signing books at 5:30 Wednesday at Collected Works and also Thursday up at the Harwood Museum of Art in Taos. A week in advance, I'm going to tip you off about next Friday and Saturday at the Lenzic. Paul Rodriguez and friends are doing a comedy documentary called Comedy Rehab. They're shooting it at the Lenzic. And Rodriguez, along with Manny Maldonado and Gene Pompa, who I just find to be a very creative, funny guy, as well as Shayla Rivera. They're all going to be showing up to film two nights in a row. You got to pay to get in if you want to be part of the audience. And I think you have to sign a form saying if you show up on the movie, you can't complain. You might be in the audience laughing your head off at some bit. So this is next week, 8 o'clock both nights.
So dress real nice.
Dress real nice. Try to be
funny.
Do
your hair.
Yeah, well, naturally I'm going to
do your comb your mustache, Robert.
All right, look, I'll trim and comb the mustache. This is a fine thing. Never mind me. I'm not the one that we're speaking about here. 988-1234. Read the Passatiempo if you want to read all about it. Let's go back to your guest before, in case people just tuned in.
Yes, Comic Art Indigene, which is opening from 1 to 4 at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture on Museum Hill in Santa Fe. And it's a book of Native American comic book art and related kinds of narrative art, including pottery. It's a very interesting exhibition.
It's going to be great, and I suspect Sunday, which is the opening reception, is free to New Mexico residents.
It is indeed.
And the cover of Passatiempo, put together by Marcela Sandoval, our graphics editor, is just beautiful. It's part of it where Pope is sort of like the superhero who beats up all the conquistadors and stuff. So that's great. You know what I did, which was really stupid?
Which thing of the stupid things that you've done are you talking about?
I had a great comic book collection from the 50s and 60s, and I sold it before I went in the military. It's all gone.
Oh, that's
for $150
bad.
Bucks. Do you know how much that'd be worth today?
I don't want to think about it.
Well, fortunately, I don't have to
you
give
could
a
retire.
Darn about money, so I don't want to retire.
Hey, the Santa Fe Community Orchestra presents free performance of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony on stage at the college. At the Santa Fe Opera. It's the 25th anniversary celebration. It's tomorrow, Saturday, May 10th, at 4 in the afternoon. And the famous chorale finale will be formed by all sorts of very wonderful vocalists and a chorus of 150 community members and much, much more. And so that's up at the opera.
Wouldn't it be funny?
That's so cool.
If Curly from the Three Stooges was doing Beethoven.
You know what? Sometimes you just shouldn't go there.
Well, what happens when I get there? Can I get out of it?
No. Hey, a gallery is now the showplace for the Rosenberg Vintage Polish Poster Collection.
I talked about that.
Oh, you did already?
You weren't listening.
That's what
I'm talking about, the spouse and lover difference.
Oh, right.
The wall.
At the tea house. Okay, I got that.
I'm just another guy showing up here on the show every Friday. What time is it?
It is 8:49.
Okay. Do you know anything about the Belly Scent Dance Celebration tonight at the Chai House?
No, you tell us.
Well, it's 6:30 p.m. There's no cover. And there's a performance by the Saltana Dancers. And guess, 6:30, the Chai House. If you want to ask me where the Chai House is.
Where's the Chai House?
I don't know.
Oh.
Isn't that terrible? It's not in the Paso Temple calendar. Terrible. We got something amiss. Also, though, tonight, let's say you were talking about the Scottish Rite Temple, and I was singing You Take the High Road behind you. Scottish Country Dance tonight. 7:30 to 10:30 p.m., Oddfellows Hall, not too much money to get in, includes a lesson, 983-4012. So if you ever wanted to learn how to country dance like the Scots do, show up.
You have to wear a kilt?
You do. Not. No, I don't think you do. I shouldn't say that. Actually, I don't know.
Hey, did you talk about the School for Advanced Research and Collected Works bookstore special spring reading with Gerald Stern and Anne Maria Macari?
I certainly did not.
Well, that is coming up. To celebrate the launch of Stern's Save the Last Dance, we're going to be interviewing them on Tuesday. That's Tuesday at the School for Advanced Research at 660 Garcia Street from 5 to 7:30 in the evening.
Meanwhile, if you want to be supportive of animals, Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary has an open house in their annual collective birthday party.
Yes, we had Ella Peterson on the air
yes,
the other day.
Yes, certainly did. They're 10
They're
to 4
wonderful.
On, of course they are. They're down on New Mexico 14, and you can wish the senior animals who need love a very happy birthday. 471-5366 free. Where? 3749-A, as in animals. New Mexico 14. Head down to Madrid, in other words. It's 10 to 4 on Saturday. Please be supportive of animals, especially if you love them. Don't hurt them or mistreat them. Or if you're 5 years old listening to this show, don't pull their tails or their ears. That's something I learned to stop doing by the time I was 15 or 16. Meanwhile, Cross Canadian Ragweed is the Santa Fe Brewing Company. You're giving me a funny look.
What?
Kicking off its outdoor patio performance season with a barbecue and concert featuring this Oklahoma country rockers. Down, 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 down. When? 4 o'clock. What day? Sunday. Where? I already told you, the Santa Fe Brewing Company. 27 Fireplace. Doors open at 3. The stuff starts at 4. And this is going to be outdoors. You've got to pay to get in. Call the Lensing. 988-1234. Meanwhile, what do you know about the Zia Singers?
The Zia Singers, you tell us.
Well,
it's
it's
a girl group.
Come on, how would I not know that? The Shirelles, the Dovells.
Exactly, the Zia Singers.
The Shangri-Las, and now the Zia Singers. They're doing their annual dessert concert. I assume that means there'll be a song about lemon meringue pie.
It's called only hope.
Another Walk Down Memory Lane, Sweet Treats and Love Songs, presented by the Women's Choir, 3 o'clock Sunday at the Elks Lodge. That's where all the alcoholics go. 1615 Old Santa Fe Trail.
Did you say alcoholics?
Yeah.
That's a good pun.
Well, I stole it from Groucho Marx. I got to own up to that. Usually I come up with my own stuff, but every now and then I got to borrow one from him. 466-3637, Critical Ear. Craig Smith's column talks about this. The Zia Singers. I love that. They sounds like they'd be on the Ed Sullivan Show. And now, the Zia Singers.
That's right. And they all have their hair coiffed and they're wearing, like, yellow evening gowns.
Ooh. Are they diaphanous?
Yes. Huh? Hey, you're invited to the opening of Rabbit Road. There's a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Rabbit Road extension to Richards Avenue tomorrow, May 10th at 10 a.m., and that's part of the Santa Fe County's Community College District Road Plan, and there's all sorts of events going on, including... Did you do this already? No. A fun, including a Run to the Sun, which is very early in the morning, which is a 5K fun run. There's awards. There's all sorts of good things. If you want more information, you can call 629-4116.
Thursday night, we talked about Pink Martini, and once again, it's one of those Thursday nights when there's like 8 things to do. The Marion Center for Photo Arts over at the College of Santa Fe has a group show of photos by seniors, reception 5 to 6:30 p.m. Meanwhile, Santa Fe Community College Visual Arts Gallery has their annual juried student exhibition, reception 4:30 to 6. That's out on Richards Avenue, free. Doubt continues at Il Museo Cultural, Into the Woods next week again at Santa Fe High. A new theater company called Coop, it could be co-op, but C-O-O-P, I have to assume there's no dash, theater. They're presenting David Mamet's two-person play, Oleana. I didn't get to write about it in terms of a previous story, but I just want to plug them anywhere on the radio. 7:30 p.m. Thursday, Wiseful Studios. There's a 763 is the area code. 226-9704. Look in the Paso Tiempo calendar again. That's also the night El Dorado Teen Players tackles Rocky Horror Picture Show at the James A. Little, and it's the opening night for the Santa Fe Playhouse's The Subject Was Roses.
And this Sunday, the 11th of May, at Loretto Chapel, Roberto Capocchi is playing with a string quartet with violinists Ellen Leitner and Jane Snyder, cellist Candace Brower and Mark Talley on viola. And that's at 7 o'clock in the evening.
playing all sorts of good stuff, guitar and string quartet. The Loretto Chapel is at 207 Old Santa Fe Trail.
Hey, what time is it?
8:54.
Okay, people who need people. Site Santa Fe wants volunteers. Call Katie Hill, 989-1199. There's a summer drive-in movie series.
Yay.
And volunteers are needed for May 24th screening of Groundhog Day at the Vargas Center. 988-5541. Warehouse 21 is looking for volunteer movers and carpenters. Later, to help prepare the new teen center for opening, going to be very exciting. 988-5541. Wise Fool, New Mexico, looking for people to help with box office, other things. 505-629-9728. Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, always looking for people to help with educational programs. There's a lot of places you can help volunteer. If you want to volunteer in the arts, pick up the Paso Tiempo calendar and take a look and see. What else were you going to say?
Nothing.
No, really? Good. That's fine, because then at least we have
nothing to say.
Goodbye. Did you know that...
Hey, how about some things happening at St. John's? Tuesday, May 13th at 7 o'clock, David Carl, author and tutor at St. John's College, will be doing a reading and book signing for Fragments, a new release from the Green Lantern Press. That's at the Great Hall at St. John's Peterson Student Center. And it is an extended meditation on the sentence, an inquiry into how we make use of language to express ourselves, and an investigation of how language helps shape and determine who and what those selves are.
Already sounds like a run-on sentence to me. Well, since you're speaking about St. John's, their theater group, which I think is called Chrysostomus, they're doing Romeo and Juliet. It's an old story about a guy that loves a gal. She loves him back, but the two families can't stand each other, so there's all sorts of antics, swordplay.
And you know what? You know what's sad about that? Is that very same story is repeated generation after generation.
Well, Shakespeare knew all this stuff. He was a psychic.
Even in real life.
He was a medium. In fact, his wife was a medium until she started dipping into the potato salad. Then she became an extra large. But she used to tip him off about what was going to be topical like 500 years from now. That guy was brilliant. He just figured he'd be around to get the royalties, and he's not. 7 o'clock tonight, Great Hall, Peterson Student Center, St. John's. Romeo and Juliet tomorrow night as well. Not too expensive to get in. 984-6000.
Hey, did you talk about the box gallery?
No, that's always a good one. Go ahead.
Box Gallery. Margo is doing large-scale images on glass. There's an opening today from 5 to 7 in the evening. The Box Gallery is at 1611A Paseo de Peralta, across from Site Santa Fe. BoxGallerySF.com. And you can see more of her work at ArtMargo.com. And Margo is M-A-R-G-E-A-U-X. And it's, I'm not sure how you pronounce the title of the exhibition, but it's Perlucer, I think.
Yes, anyway.
Now it's time for Robert to sing.
What time is it?
8:57.
I got that stupid Johnny Mathis song in my head now.
Which one?
You know.
No, I don't.
I'll love you till the bluebells forget to bloom. I'll love you till the clover has lost its perfume. I'll love you till the poets run out of rhyme, or until the 12th of never, and that's a long, long time.
You got to say goodbye to people?
I do, but I was thinking about the tune of that song.
Close. Go right ahead. Never let me go. Hold me close, guy. Melt my heart like April snow.
That's the song. I gave my love a cherry. That's the folk version of it.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so somebody borrowed it from somebody else.
Exactly.
Ah, that's a good
Which
song.
Which happens. That's what art is all about.
Johnny Mathis sings it, but I think it's a nice song. I think Madonna should remake that song.
You're better than Johnny Mathis.
Well, thanks.
You're wonderful, Robert Knott. Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Paso Tiempo Friday Arts Calendar in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. It's wonderful to have you, Robert. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. I'm taking next week off. I'm on vacation.
Oh, you're on vacation. Does that mean you will not grace us with your wonderful wit and humor next weekend?
Well, I don't know yet. I might show up. I'm going to stick around. I'm just going down to Sirius Road for the week.
You're going to stay at the Warren Inn?
I'm going to go down to Motel 6.
Excellent. Robert Knott, thank you so much for being with us. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Jazz a la Carta. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte. Robert Knott, have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, okay. I'll probably see you next week, and if I don't, I'll find somebody like Rob DeWalt to fill
like
in for me.
The wonderful.
Of course.
Rob DeWalt.
I know what it's like, younger man. You're nuts about that stuff. Stuck with me. I'm like the old dog over at the Assistance Dog Program.
Oh,
they're having a graduation,
oh, no, you're
by
not.
The way.
Oh, yeah, the Assistance Dogs of the West graduation.
Yeah, so that's Tuesday night, I think. I apologize. You can find out about it. Pick up the PASA calendar.
Yay. Okay. Have a great weekend, and drive safely, be happy, wear your seatbelt, and the world's not so bad after all.
Right, and say ciao.
Ciao.